Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, four simple words, thou shalt not kill. Seems pretty straightforward. Within a week, within our nation, there was a March for Life in Washington when less than a week later our governor signs into law an awful law. His explanation was he was protecting the women of our state if the president and the Supreme Court overturns a bad decision made 47 years ago. This is not a political message. I understand the world would like to make it political, but it really is a spiritual problem. And you're not going against how to run a government, or you're not do we hand out cheese to those that can't afford it? It's not like that. This is a matter of life and death. And I want to show you what the scripture says about life. Life is a gift from God, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 tonight. I don't know if you watch the news. I don't know if you listen to the news. I don't know if you read the news on... I don't know how you get your news. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have no idea what I'm even talking about. To which you're probably a lot happier than me. But there seems to be a great discrepancy between what is right and what is done. Psalm 139 and verse 13 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." The Bible tells us in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." We're not going to get into necessarily the biology, but you do understand that every single time that happens, it truly is a gift of God for that to happen. Life is a gift from God. We take clay and we mold it, and then God breathes into it, and then it becomes a living soul. It's a gift. Jeremiah chapter 1, turn there with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote against. I want to show you what the Bible says about life. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah is known of God before he ever takes his first breath. God knew about him, and God had a plan for him. Can I say, as I read that and go, man, that must have been awesome for Jeremiah. Do you understand that you could substitute your name in there? You can read those words and know that God had a plan for you also, that He ordained you, that He had a circumstance. He designed you with a purpose. He knew about you before he even took your first breath. Why? Because life is a gift from God. Job chapter 31. Job 31 in verse 15. Maybe you're listening to the news and you're confused by things. What's the big deal? It's to maybe, you know, to save the mother, it's allowed. Job 31:15 says, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb?" It seems like these are people long before they ever come out. That these created ones by God were individuals. And no one is more important than another. Isn't that what verse 15 says? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? Doesn't that one have just as much of a chance as I do? Isn't that one just as important as me? Yes. Because life is a gift from God. Life is in the hands of God. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, look at verse 5. Sometimes I automatically go to verses. Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Anybody create themselves? Anybody say, you know what? I want to be born in Rochester or Buffalo or wherever you were born. I was born in Buffalo. That's where I want to. I want to find Cheryl and Michael Russo, and I want to insert myself into that family. That seems like a good family. Anybody do that? Anybody choose their parents? Anybody choose their birth parents? Nobody. Why? Because God made us. And we, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Life is in the hands of God. This past week, Mr. Kalpi wasn't doing so well. What day was that? Yesterday? Somewhat refusing treatment a little bit. So I went and I had a conversation with him. "That is not for you to decide, Craig. We use every opportunity, every circumstance to keep fighting for life. Whether you're 60... for 6 weeks, we fight. We don't give up. Why? Because God made us. And we have no right to take life. Within the scriptures, there's guidelines for war and consequences to sin. But we don't get to choose whoever gets to start this world or not. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says that. Life is in the hands of God. And you know what? Sometimes God sees fit to end life. There's been a lot of ladies in our ministry throughout the years that maybe miscarried or something, and you're like, why? Why did that happen? Because that's what God chose. And that's a tender thing, and I understand. I hope you understand that that was in the hand of God just as much as anything else. God holds life in His hands. How do you know Brother Kalpi belongs here today? Because he's breathing. And for that to stop, well, then we'll know. All right, time has expired. But I'm not one to say, hey, we get to choose him over him. That's what Job 31 says. And am I better than him? Am I more valuable? Is one life more valuable than another? No, because life is in the hands of God. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Turn over to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. And verse 8. "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. He holds life. And if he decides it's to end, it ends. And I trust him and I believe him and I know it's right. And if he decides to give life, then so be it. But that's not for us to decide. Life is in the hands of God. I've heard a lot of excuses of, or justification of, well, under these circumstances, under illness, if the baby is going to be incredibly sick or a problem, then it's okay to end its life. And people are convinced that that is okay. Is that scriptural? No, it isn't. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or deaf? Or seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Well, God, you made a mistake with this one. This one's going to be sick. It's going to be tough. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I did that. We were expecting with Joe, and you know those preliminary tests that you go through, it's like, why do we do this? Well, one of those preliminary tests came back and said there could be a really big problem. We had to go over to a specialist, and they saw some spots in his brain, and they said because of that, it's likely that there's a strong chance he might have Down syndrome. Okay. So there we are. We're going to the doctor to find out. But honestly, it didn't matter. It didn't. We might not have had five, but we would have had two. We prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do with our life, we're good with. And we went in that day, and they took another picture and said, I don't know what the other one saw. There's nothing here. But sometimes there's things there. Sometimes things are missing, or sometimes things don't look like everybody else. What does that mean? Didn't God do that? Hey, that one can't hear. That one, no. 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 If we go through the New Testament, imagine if we got rid of all the lame and the blind and the deaf, who would Christ heal? No, we don't end life because it's inconvenient. How about as a product of sin? That's another excuse. Well, if this man abuses this woman, then the woman can. It's justified. It's okay. Is that scriptural? Deuteronomy chapter 24. So why are you preaching this? Because I just don't want you to believe everything you hear. I want you to see it. I want you to see what the Bible says. I want you to see what God says. And it doesn't matter what the world says. Hey, let's line up with what the Bible and God says. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. That man's pretty wicked. Kill the kid. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Every man shall be put to death over his own sin. We'll allow the child an opportunity to do his own. No. No, life isn't. Life doesn't end because of a product of sin. Or illness. Look at Luke chapter 17. Mrs. Wilson, I agree with you. I was I was sickened by the jovial attitude of signing that law. Made me sad. Made me angry. And hear him speak. Luke chapter 17 and verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. So I wasn't too far off by saying, oh, earth, open up and swallow them all. Millstone, we'll find one. Hey, that's not for me to do. I don't think you should go out and get a gun and kill people that perform these procedures. I don't. I think you let God handle those situations. But God said some pretty powerful words. I understand he is the righteous judge one day. See, why does he wait so long? I don't know. I don't know why God does things like that. I don't know why he allows it. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Say, Pastor, it's been a long week already. I came to church to try and be encouraged, and this is what you're doing. We'll end on a positive note. After this verse. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, these things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Proud look, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Child never even had a chance. According to the scriptures, it's not right. According to God himself. And personally, if you ask me, I'm 100% against it. 100%. Because we serve the God of life. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. What a great verse this is. We'll take a quick swing to the positive and we'll end there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, look at how God is described in this verse. 1 Peter 4, 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto, look at who he is, a faithful creator. Who do I serve? I serve a faithful creator. And he sees it all and he makes good on it all and he organizes it all. And even though I don't agree with it, and even though it doesn't make sense to me, God says, I'm the faithful creator and I know what I made and I know what is happening and I'm keeping record. That's good to know. God is in favor of life. He is not the faithful destroyer. God is life. And we'll end at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We mentioned this in our class on Tuesday night. No one in the scriptures do we have record of ever died in the presence of Christ. No one. Why? Because Jesus Christ is life. He is the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, had he not been delayed, had he got there in time, Lazarus would not have died. The thief on the cross died after Christ died. No one dies in the presence of Christ. Because Christ is all about life. As we read John chapter 1, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God is all about undoing darkness, undoing death. How so? What produces death? Sin produces death. And Jesus Christ went to great lengths to undo death. He is life. And you want to line up on God's side of this, even though it might be a minority of people, you make sure you always line up on the side of life. Because in him was life. You're right, it's a wicked world. And reading those things and seeing those things on the news this past week ought to light a fire under us. Not to get someone to change political parties, because that doesn't make a difference. It's Christ that will make a difference. Hey, Christian, he's all about life. You don't have to convince me. I'm not telling you what lever to pull. I'm not telling you what party to register under. What I'm telling you is find out what God says and go that way. And we can do that because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that talks to us and confirms things. You want to help people do right? Introduce them to Christ. And allow Christ to change the way they think. You're not going to win those arguments. You're not going to convince someone otherwise. Why? Because it's intellect against intellect. Allow God to change them from the inside. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. I agree. I think we should pray. Pray for our officials. Make note of who voted where. I was talking to someone this past week. Yesterday. No, today. And they asked me, How did this happen? Because we voted him in as governor. Well, I didn't. You live in a state that did. That's what happens. So pray. Lead people to Christ. That they would align with the scriptures. Not a political party. But what does God say? Let's all stand. I don't usually preach messages like that. I heard a whole lot of nonsense this week. And I thought, what does God say about it? It's pretty clear. If you'd like to discuss this circumstance or this idea, I'd be more than happy to. I don't want to argue about things, but if you have questions or I don't quite understand that, by all means, I will be more than happy to sit down with the Bible, not what I think, but what God says about it. Brother Jabisky, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?